Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we adore you for who you are. Thank you that you are the truly generous one. You gave us everything, even your own son, Jesus, to die for us when we were your enemies. So we praise you, Lord. We thank you. We confess the times that we have not trusted in you, that we've not been generous to you and to our neighbors, maybe out of fear, out of anger, out of hate. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for trusting in other things than you, whether it be our own efforts, whether it be the economy, whether it be even a loved one. These things will all fail us, but you never fail us, Lord. Help us put our hope back in you. We thank you that you are good, that we are forgiven in Jesus, that you have given us all that we need, and you promise to provide our needs and to be with us. And Lord, we pray for this hurting world. It's hard times, Lord. Pray for those who are struggling economically. Be with them. Thank you that you're the provider. Pray for those who are struggling physically with their health. Thank you, Lord, that you are the healer. Watch over them, Lord. Pray for those who are hurting. Just comfort them, Lord. Thank you that you are our counselor. This week was also the Orange Shirt Day, where we remember residential schools. We pray for healing of this dark, evil past of which your church was a part. Lord, we confess what we did, our part was wrong. Forgive us. And we look towards your reconciliation, Lord. Pray for opportunities where we can shine your light. I pray for my friends who are victims of the residential school system. Give them your peace. Walk with them. And may they know who you are, Jesus, for who you really are. Guide us this day, Lord. Give us strength this week, and may we be glorified in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hello, everybody. I am Pastor Jeremiah, or Pastor Jay. I'm so honored to be with you here today. Have you ever met somebody or knew somebody who was very generous to you, but it seemed to come from a bad place? That is, maybe they had an ulterior motive or hidden agenda when they were generous to you. This happened to me a few times, maybe because I'm a sucker. I don't know why, but I met a few people and they were so generous. They bought me coffee. They bought me bubble tea. They gave me stuff. And I was like, wow, this is a great person. This is a great friendship we have. And then along the relationship, they brought up, they wouldn't call it a pyramid scheme, but it was something like a pyramid scheme. And eventually it became all about their product or their system. And I began to doubt whether they were generous to me because they appreciated me or because they wanted something from me. They had this ulterior motive. And a couple times when I said, no, I'm sorry, not interested, you know, let's go for a coffee, they stopped replying to my texts and I didn't hear from them again. Now, there's something special about true generosity, isn't there? And there's something really off-putting about insincere generosity, something with a hidden agenda. And usually we can tell the difference. This series we're doing is called Rooted, Growing Deeply in Christ. And today we're going to look at the value of generosity. Generosity to show Jesus. And we're going to look at what true generosity is and how being deeply rooted in Jesus helps us grow in His generosity. And we're going to look at what it looks like through two stories in the book of Acts. These are kind of the foundational texts of Mosaic House Church. These are the first followers of Jesus, and this is kind of the lives that they lived individually and as a people of God. And we're going to start at Acts 2, verse 42 and 47, and then we're going to go jump to Acts 4, verses 32 to 37. Hear the word of the Lord. First in Acts 2, we're starting in 42. And they, that's the followers of Jesus, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. And Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 32. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this picture and this image of the kind of people you want us to be, the kind of people you call us to be, and that you've equipped us to be. Help us to enter into this story, this image. And may be glorified during this time today. May your words be in my mouth for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's what I believe God wants us to know today. Generosity is not how much you give, but from where you give. A saying at Mosaic House is, God doesn't want your money, he wants your heart. And as we grow deeply in Jesus, Jesus promises and wants to change our hearts, that inner place from where generosity comes. And the good news of Jesus is that he has changed our hearts. And here's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at 2 points. First, generosity comes from a place of sincerity. And 2, generosity comes from a place of selflessness. And then we'll end with 2 applications. Again, generosity is not how much you give, it's from where you give. Let's look at the first point. Generosity comes from a place of sincerity. Now, the word for generosity in Greek, which is the written language of the New Testament, comes from a few variations of the Greek word haplos. Now, this is a very hard word to translate. It literally means without folds. When your bed in the morning is messy, there are many folds in the sheet. And your bed is haplos when you smooth out those folds. Now, my wife can attest to this, but I lose things all the time. My phone, my glasses, my keys. And when our bed is messy and the sheets are all folded up, it's very easy to lose stuff, especially my glasses. I just can't find them there. But when a bed is nice and smooth, it's so easy to find stuff. It's just right on the bed. And that's kind of what haplos means. Haplos is when everything is smoothed out, and things are unhidden. And literally, haplos translates simplicity, openness of heart, honesty, purity, and sincerity. You are haplos when there is nothing hidden, no hidden agendas or ulterior motives in your giving, in the folds and corners of your heart. At the same time, the New Testament also can render this same word, graciousness, or generosity. The concepts are so interchangeable that in Acts 2 verse 46, different translations either translate this word haplos as sincerity or generosity. For example, we can look at Acts chapter 46. This is in the NIV version. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere haplos hearts. But in the ESV, the same verse reads, and day by day attending to the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and haplos generous hearts. Both translations are correct. Now, I believe this is more than just a word fumble, but God is trying to teach us what true generosity is. Generosity must come with sincerity and an honest heart. Generosity is not how much you give, but from where you give. And also, why you give. Your heart and attitude when you give. And the story in Acts 4, these new Christians are experiencing this radical wave of generosity. And in the middle, we meet this guy named Joseph, aka Barnabas. And he's a great guy in the New Testament. If you get a chance, look him up. He's an amazing character. And Barnabas reveals this unfolded heart of sincerity and generosity. Barnabas, he was a Jew from Cyprus, part of the Levite tribe. Now, just in case you don't know, the Levites were kind of special people. In case you don't know the full story, God chose this people group, Israel, as kind of his test plot, or the people by which the whole world will know who he is. And they were called to different rules, regulations, and eventually this people group was divided into 12 tribes. And it's kind of like how Canada is divided into 12 provinces, except we're not all related. Unless you're Dutch, of course. Anyway, and as they were divided, the Levites, they didn't get any land, but they were kind of the pastors of the people of God. And they were spread out through all the tribes of Israel, and they were then called to be kind of get ready worship services, religious feasts and festivals. And Barnabas was one of these people, but because of the empire taking over Israel, they couldn't practice this. And Barnabas, he sees or hears the good news of Jesus. And out of this good news of Jesus' redemption, he decides to enter into this community. And as a sign of that transformation, he sells his land and gives all the money and lays it at the apostles' feet. He's kind of a picture of true, sincere generosity. And right after we meet Barnabas, we go to the next chapter, Acts 5. We meet another couple, a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. In Acts 5, it says that they, too, wanted to join this movement. So they, too, sold a piece of land and gave the money put at the apostles' feet. But they also hid part of the money. So they told the apostles, this is everything we have. But they secretly hid the money. They were very generous, but they were not sincere. They were kind of the first Bonnie and Clyde, and they kind of secretly hid this money from the apostles. And we're not going to go into the story now, but if you read that story, God punishes them severely. Now, God doesn't punish them because they didn't give as much as Barnabas, because they weren't as generous, but he didn't even punish them because they kept the money aside, but because they lied about it. They were not sincere. The scripture says they lied to the Holy Spirit. And the author of Acts kind of sets this contrast between Barnabas, who represents sincere, true generosity, and Ananias and Sapphira, which represents insincere generosity. Because generosity is not how much you give, but from where you give. And like I mentioned, you can usually tell the difference between sincere generosity and insincere generosity. One of my friends, she has a disability, and we're close, and she loves to give you something. This is so show how much she cares. And this week, actually, I saw her, she gave me this little bracelet. You know, not the best craftsmanship, but it doesn't matter. And whenever she gives me something, I don't care what it is. I don't care how much it is, but because it comes from a place of sincerity, of honesty, of just giving because she cares about you, it's so encouraging. And that's what true generosity is supposed to be. Generosity comes from a place of sincerity. Second point is generosity comes from a place of selflessness. Selfishness, being selfish, makes the whole world become in reference to you, to your needs. It makes you think, how can I get ahead? And in terms of your possessions, what you have, it makes you have this attitude of mine. Stay away, it's mine. Generosity in this kind of selfish heart is very, very hard, almost impossible to grow. In contrast, we have this picture of the apostles in chapter 4, verse 32. It says here, all the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Out of this selflessness came generosity. Instead of saying, how can I get ahead? They shared, or they were with one heart and mind. They had this idea of ours. It's all ours. Instead of saying, mine, stay away, no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. They believed with the psalmist in Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It all belonged to God. And from this place of selflessness, generosity blossomed. And there weren't many social programs back in those days. And one of the only ways that one could help for the needy was to give of your own personal treasure and finances to support them. And that's the core of what true generosity is. It is not only has to be sincere, but also has to be selfless. Rather than being motivated by an inflated love of self, that is, you're only generous to serve yourself because it makes you feel good, because it makes other people maybe like you or have a better idea of you, or because it seeks attention. True generosity is motivated by a sincere love of God and love of our neighbors. The Apostle Paul puts this in 1 Corinthians 9:3. It says, if I give all I have to the poor, if I give everything away, but do not have love, love of God and neighbor, it is nothing. It means nothing. I gain nothing. And Acts 4 is this picture of what true generosity looks like and basically what it means to be truly human, who God intended us to be. The problem is that today, I'm not sure about you, but we often struggle to do generosity sincerely and selflessly. Do we give sincerely because we just truly want to give, or because we get a bigger tax return? Do we give generous gifts because we are sincere or because it boosts our reputation? What hides in the folds of your heart? And if we're really sincere and honest with ourselves, if we actually looked deep and long into our hearts, we would find that we are not pure. We are not hapless. Our hearts are riddled with the folds of jealousy, maybe hate, maybe anger, pride, and of course, selfishness. We don't want to give of ourselves when it risks our own lives, our own security, our own safety. And the reality is the first followers of Jesus also struggled with this. Acts 2 and 4 is kind of like the honeymoon stage of this new church movement. Everybody's doing great. Everybody's like, oh, this is amazing. Everything organically happens. And then things get a little tougher. Personalities clash. Conflict arises. Bills start coming in the mail. And it gets tougher. And you have to work at it more. And that's what happened in the book of Acts. Just a few chapters later in verse 6. As people were just kind of organically just spreading food out to everybody, it was found that there were Greek widows who were being overlooked in the distribution of the meals. And there was a little conflict and they had to restructure things, put a little structure to it. And then Acts 11, the same church was faced a famine and they couldn't financially support their community. So you had to raise and campaign funds for other churches to support them. And true generosity is hard, especially when real life hits you. And this is where the grace of Jesus comes in. Jesus forgives us when we are insincere in our generosity and also promises to transform our hearts from where we give. And the reason that Barnabas is able to practice true generosity wasn't because he is just better than us, but because in verse 33, it says, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the resurrection of Jesus. The good news of Jesus is God is the truly generous one. He's completely sincere and selfless to the point that he gave of himself. And his giving is always motivated by love, by compassion. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Because of our own insincere, selfish hearts, we sinned, we rebelled against God, and we became separated from him. And instead of God just abandoning us, leaving us, even though we were enemies of God, God sent his only son, his most precious possession, himself, to die on our behalf. Instead of us taking the punishment of our sins, Jesus took it. And through Jesus' sacrifice, we are now forgiven for all the times that we are insincere and selfish. Past, present, and future, we're completely forgiven. Amen. But also, after Jesus died, 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And those who now follow Jesus are also now caught up in his life, in his resurrection. And the power of sin, that power that hides in the folds of our hearts, which makes our hearts all tangled up, is now cured in the power of Jesus. He defeated sin and death. And now our hearts are completely transformed and made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is new creation. The old is past, that old heart is thrown away, and we are given, the new has come, a new heart, one that is equipped with sincerity, openness, and generosity." We are recreated back into the original design of Acts chapter 4. And in the power of Jesus' resurrection, and now the Holy Spirit living in us, we now have the sincere, clean, and clear, selfless, unfolded hearts before God, and we are becoming like the God of great generosity. And we don't just need to work harder or just try hard to be generous. We just need to be rooted in Jesus, who has caught up our life in his resurrection. And the more we grow in Jesus, the more we grow in his generosity, because he has now changed our hearts. Generosity is not how much you give, but from where you give. And Jesus has transformed from where we give. He has transformed our hearts. And through him, we now have forgiveness and also recreation, new creation. So we've looked at 2 points so far. Generosity comes from a place of sincerity. And generosity comes from a place of selflessness. And through Jesus, those places are transformed in us. Let me just end with 2 applications. First one is give sincerely. I encourage you to do an assessment this week using kind of the rooted metaphor. Are you like a seed when it comes to generosity? You're kind of new at this. You're just planted. You're still figuring things out. Lots to grow. Are you like a shrub? You're kind of generous. You're doing good, but you lost to grow and you kind of excited to grow. Or are you like a rooted tree that bears the fruit of generosity to others? Grow wherever you are, grow more deeply in Christ, because he wants to make you like himself, make you more generous. And I encourage you in this process of assessing yourself, look into the folds of your heart. Be completely open and honest with God. What is there? He knows it already. He wants to forgive you. He loves you. And he wants to change that heart. I encourage you, whatever is in there, give it to God. I know it's been really tough right now for many of us economically. It's hard to be generous when you don't have a lot. And I encourage you to whatever is in your heart right now, because of the situation, because of life in general, give it to God. Whether it be maybe fear, anxiety, whether it be pride, maybe in the corners of your heart, you worship money more than God. In the scripture, it says that the people, they sold the land and put the money at the apostles' feet. One commentator argues that's kind of a Jewish tradition, which recognizes that money is nothing special. When I give an apostle a fruit, I'll give it to him standing up, just handing out. But if I give an apostle money, I put it on the ground, because it's a reminder that money is not an elevated status. It's just one tool God uses. It's nothing special. God's provider, not money. Whatever it is, look deeply in your heart and give it to God. Again, Jesus has forgiven you. He loves you, and he wants to transform your heart and set you even more free from the power of sin. Second one is give selflessly. Generosity is not how much you give, but from where you give. However, from where you give does affect how much you give. Barnabas, he sold his field. One commentator argues that in the Greek and some other stuff, that he gave everything he owned to the apostles, 100% all in. And not everybody is called to give 100% to a ministry or just let it all out. But if God asks you tomorrow, give everything away and follow me. Everything you have, just give it away. Would you be willing to do it? That's a hard question, even for me. And if that's a scary thing to think about, perhaps that's an indication that you're not as deeply rooted as God wants you to be. That maybe you don't love him and your neighbor as much as you ought to or are called to. Remember, God has forgiven you. And also remember that we don't really own anything. It's on loan from God. Ultimately, it's God who provides our needs, not our own hands. He gave it to us. And he can take it away, and he gave it to us not just so we can live a nice, comfortable life, but that we can glorify God and serve our neighbors through those gifts. And again, if you struggle in this area, give your heart to God. And as you give your heart to God, just trust in him that he will grow in you generosity. And from the place of responding to God's grace and transformation, give selflessly. Give of your time. Perhaps during this season, pray about people that you can reach out to. Maybe give a time and a phone call or just a social distance visit. Give your time. Give of your treasure. I encourage you to commit to your tithes and offerings to Mosaic House, because that is one way that you can glorify God in your giving. It's all God's anyway. And also give of your talents. Think of ways that God has given you gifts, maybe art, maybe singing, maybe cooking, whatever it is. Think of ways individually and also as a house church, as a community of believers, that you can be generous to each other and to the world. People sometimes ask me, how much should we give? And I always say, give until it hurts and then give a little bit more. It's like you are stretching your generosity muscle. Giving reveals your heart, but also obedient generosity. Doing it, giving because God tells you, even when it hurts, also helps our heart turn back to trusting God, the provider. Because when we give and then we see God providing for us, we will grow in our trust of him. But again, most important is being rooted in Jesus. Because growing in Jesus will cause us to grow in generosity. Trust in him, focus on him, our resurrected Savior. Let me end with this story. My wife and I were very blessed last week when a mysterious bunch of people, you know who you are, did something in Mosaic House called Ding Dong Dash. That is, I wasn't there. My wife was there. She just got off night shift. Had kind of a rough week at work. And somebody knocked on the door and she was half asleep. She said her hair was crazy, went on her PJs. And at the edge of our door was a apple crisp. And she looked up and two people ran away. And we were so blessed by this apple crisp. It really helped Sarah just feel loved and appreciated, even had "You Are Loved" on it. And that is the kind of generosity that we are called to do. Sincere, selfless, fun. And we are so thankful for the generosity of Mosaic House and the mysterious people. The rumor is, I heard, it was a house church that wanted to bless people in Mosaic House. Thank you for your generosity and blessing us. And that is what we are called to do in Jesus. Generosity is not how much you give, but from where you give. And by God's grace, Jesus has changed from where we give. Being more rooted in Jesus will cause us to grow in generosity. He loves you. He promises to be with you and to transform your hearts. And out of his provision, out of his grace, he has called his church to be generous. Let us respond to his great grace, his generosity, through our generosity, in and with the power of Jesus' resurrection. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you are the truly generous one. And you have transformed us. And now who we are is a child of you. Who we are is someone like you. Help us to live this out, Lord, today. Help us to just grow in this, to just be sacrificial and selfless and sincere in our giving. We give our hearts to you. We can't do without you. And we pray and ask for opportunities that we can share and show Jesus through our generosity. Thank you that you have transformed who we are to become more like you, our generous Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray, through and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.